It's time for JT the Brick.
You want a conspiracy theory? I'll give you one. There's no way you can sit in the boardroom on Park Avenue where NFL headquarters are and say the Raiders are going to open up with two on the road against the Harbaugh brothers. What are the odds of that? You're giving us the Atlanta game on Monday Night Football at the end of December. Thanks. Really appreciate that. Now, you want to thank you, Roger? You just scoffed and mocked us. Like, you're nothing. We're nothing.
JT the Brick.
I'm defending the Raiders. You should be defending the Raiders. Very simple. Make the Raider Nation stand up. Sound off like you got a pair. It's your time now to be heard. You got a flagship station that isn't compromised up north with a baseball team going out of business and another San Francisco football team and hosts that are in the pocket. You got me at the front gates of the Raider Nation trying to help you have a voice on this. So let's roll.
And now,
Raider Nation unite!
Here's JT the Brick.
Yes, we're back. It's July 8th. I wish it was like July 23rd, but it's July 8th, and we are baking like potatoes in Vegas, man. We are hot, 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 man. I got a lot to get to today. Good to be back with Bobby here on the flagship of the Silver and Black Raider Nation Radio. Couple days in Vancouver. I'll recap that trip because I don't think you want to hear a lot about my trips, or I want to hear a lot about yours, but my name is on the show. Some people are interested. Got a lot of people on the YouTube page. JT the Brick is on YouTube at JT the Brick YT. Please subscribe and share because everybody who's on the YouTube gets to know what we're doing before we do it. And I lean on a lot of the YouTubers in there to come in here. Hope you're doing well. Again, I learned this from my good friend MJ Maynard years ago. She's with the RTC, and we always talked about keep your pets inside. Don't make a mistake with your pets. I don't say this other than this time of year. So if you're watching from all over the world, you might not get it, but you cannot make a mistake with a child or a pet this time of year. You can't make a mistake, okay? You can't make a mistake for a matter of minutes because it is insanity out here. And I told Bobby this before the show. I've always said, and I've been out here a long time, and I used to come and visit, you know, bachelor parties back in the day in the 80s and coming out here. This is before bottle service and pool parties and all that. But 100 out here in Vegas feels like 85. It does, because we have no humidity. We don't have any humidity. And I got my buddies back east in Long Island and Philly and even Syracuse, and 90 degrees with full humidity is just brutal. We don't have that out here. So 105 feels like 95. 110 starts to feel like 100, but once you get to 115 and above, it's that actual temperature. And there is a conspiracy theory here today of what happened. Did we get to 120 or not? I got to call on the newsman, Dana Wagner. I got to get a Ted Pretty to come on. Did we hit 120 at the airport yesterday, or have we never gone over 117 and we're supposed to do 118 tomorrow? Because if we went from 117 to 120, that's a pretty big move. That's a significant move. So I need someone to give me some clarity here on the weather in Vegas. I know it was 124 in Palm Springs, which is ridiculous. I mean, Bobby, we may wake up one day and it'll be our last day. It might be 200 degrees. I mean, we're going in that direction. I don't know how it's going to stop. Sunspots and clouds, man. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't want to even dive into it, but something's going on here. So it is insanity. Insanity here. I was up in Vancouver to go see the Rolling Stones, and it was incredible. I've never been to Vancouver. The weather, it was a chamber of commerce 3 or 4 days when I was up there. I didn't see one cloud. Ice blue, high 70s, mid 80s, perfect breeze. You wear a sweatshirt at night. It was gorgeous. My wife and I were like, how have we not been here before? I'm ashamed that I haven't been to Vancouver before. And I was on the radio a bunch throughout my career in Vancouver. On good radio stations up there, and I met a bunch of listeners, a couple of good stories. Met my buddy Danny, who owns the Penthouse, a famous jazz club, nightclub, gentleman's club. Yes, that turned into a smoking lounge. We were there, Raider paraphernalia everywhere. Sammy Davis Jr. slept at this establishment because they wouldn't let African-American entertainers sleep in the hotels in the 40s and the 50s. So very unique, historic part of town. It was cool to go to where the BC Lions played football and catch the Stones. I was on the floor for the Stones. That was a lot of fun. Restaurants were great. And then we were on the boat. And to be on a boat tour and look back at that city. I've never seen a city in my life, ever, maybe other than New York, that had more condos. The whole place is 1,000 condos, giant tower-sized condos on top of each other, looking out at the most breathtaking views you could imagine. So if you're into condos or Airbnb condos, it's a place to go. We stayed at a nice hotel on the waterfront and had a good time. Went with another couple. We got after it pretty good, had a good time. Mick and Keith was a lot of fun to hang out with Stones fans. And, oh, I was up there as Canada won in the Copa. So I was there in the sports bar when Canada won, which was really cool to see Canada win. They're still alive. As our United States men's soccer team stinks. We stink. We're not good. We're not average. We stink. Canada's still alive. Other teams are alive. They're playing in Vegas. We stink. So we're out of it. Our women are great. Our men are not when it comes to soccer. Asia Wilson broke the all-time Aces scoring record. That's great news. Mark Davis watches and knows the show. We want to make sure we give a shout-out to all that. And then Raiders camp is right around the corner where we'll be. You don't think I'm trying to get out? People, don't ever tell me again about training camp being out here. It will be out here, and there'll be events out here, I'm sure. But don't tell me you don't have to get the hell out of here for a couple weeks to go to the coast or practice anywhere else. Don't tell me about the indoor facility. I've been in there a million times. It's air-conditioned. No. Got to get out of this. It's insane. And I want to give a shout-out to all the people who work outside today. Because, you know, I talk radio, sports, it's pretty easy, other than this month, right? We'll get into that. But it's pretty easy what we do. There are people out on the road, construction, working outside, moving plants, construction. We're one of the biggest, fastest growing cities for a long time. Those people have it hard, and the emergency workers and the people are outside in this heat here. So, again, it's insane. It's crazy. And again, make sure you protect your pets, your dogs, and everybody else out there, and be responsible. Be responsible when it gets to 118 to 120. As people are coming in here, we're still confused, man. Did we get to this 120 or not? Thor says, yes, 120, but it was like 116 here in Summerlin. Oh, Thor, great point. The reason I moved to Summerlin and not Henderson, I love them both, is my buddy Brady Cannon, Las Vegas golfer, once reminded me, 5 degrees cooler in Summerlin than in Henderson. That's why I'm on this side of town, and I love the Henderson side too. But when it gets hot, it gets a little bit hotter in Henderson than it does on the mean streets of Summerlin, that's for sure. So good to be back. My sons didn't do anything wrong. They had the house to themselves. They're both over 21. Came home to a couple of the fraternity brothers from Dallas staying at the house. Nice. They kind of gave me a little bit of a heads up. I just didn't know how many. Not like I said, mi casa, su casa. My kids graduated college. Their friends are welcome to the home, so they're there. And that's about it. So this is a unique story and a new unique week for us on what we're going to try to accomplish here on the flagship of the Raiders. So last summer, we had some really good programming that we came up with. We come up with all of our content, and we did the top Raiders team of all time. Three players at every position. We had four wide receivers. We had honorable mentions. We built the first offensive line, the backup offensive line. And we, you know, went over this for about 3 weeks, and we saw the numbers, and the numbers were pretty good. We're based on advertising and partnerships. It's good. So this summer, Bobby and I came up with the greatest 10 games of all time. The greatest 10 games in Raider history. And we just threw that up against the wall because we need bleeping content. So, as I told Bobby this morning on our pre-show call, in my 27 years on the radio, 27, how about that run? 27 uninterrupted, knock wood. I have never seen it more dead than I have seen it from June into July so far. And again, not a difficult job. I'll get through it. No thoughts and prayers. I don't need your prayer emojis. I'll get through it. But this is ridiculous. I mean, there is nothing going on nationally. I mean, if I want to complain about the Yankees, you might not be interested in the Yankees. If I, you know, people want to complain about the Golden Knights losing free agents, I got a fistful of 50s. I can't buy a Golden Knight call on this station, and I took thousands on the other ones. So we're looking for content here, and it is lean. So Bobby and I got ahead of it, and we decided to do these top 10 games. We actually bit off more than we can chew. It is a big project to try to figure out the top 10 Raider games of all time, and I already see some confusion sinking in. Well, what does top 10 of all time mean? Is it importance? Is it the greatest games, the greatest finishes? Significantly important. Everybody's all over the ice on this. So what I got to do here in the monologue is explain what we're going to do and try to accomplish this so you're entertained, I'm entertained, and we can get something out of this. First off, I believe one of the most important reasons why I'm involved with the Raiders, one of them, is to educate younger fans who don't know the Raiders. Actually, I was told that years ago. Hey, man, get on the radio and tell people about the Raiders. And I didn't grow up a Raider fan. I was a Stabler fan as a kid, but I didn't grow up 6, 7 years old, you know, going to the Sahans game. I wasn't at these games, a lot of them. And I started going to Raider games nonstop when I got hired by the team in 1998. And if you look at the greatest games ever played, there's been some droughts since 1998. There's some good ones, and a couple that are going to make this list. But what is it, the most important games, the most important to you, important to the Raiders? Again, no rules other than the fact that this is not a Raiders, the franchise. They are not doing this. I'm doing this. So this is not something that's going to go back on Raiders.com, the official. This is not official. This is just Raider Nation Radio, my show. That's it. Pretty easy. We had a good time with the other thing we did last year. So we're going to, it's going to kind of have a little bit of leeway here. A little bit of leeway. Number one. Number two, we need your interaction. We need it. No, normally, I don't need anything. I could go a year, two, three without taking a call. And I blank and moan when some of the calls aren't good, when people aren't prepared, when people aren't excited as me. I get a little bit crazy because I was the best caller at one time in the country, and I took pride in calling into radio shows. So for here, if you went to one of these games, or if you remember one of the games that I'm discussing and or debating, we need to hear from you via the chat on YouTube, via Twitter, X, JT the Brick on Facebook, JT the Brick. There's ways to get through without calling the show. But I kind of want to wipe out the guest here and give them a break, so we're going to be leaning more on the fans that went to those games. So when you hear something about a game, I'm going to mention a game, and you go, I was at that game. Oh, my God, I remember that game. Put a phone call together and tell us about it. I wasn't there, or maybe you weren't at the game I was at. So let's do some teamwork here, if everybody can jump in and be a part of the team here on Raider Nation Radio. And then finally, I think the thing that we want to do the most is we want to educate the newer fans in Vegas who definitely weren't at any of these games. A handful, less than a half a percentage point of anybody who lived in Vegas is going to tell you that they were at the Heidi game, right? They're not going to tell you that they were at the Gannon AFC Championship with Metallica in the parking lot. They're not. There's probably a couple, but not enough to do a radio show. So we want to educate these fans. We want to educate these fans on how great these Raider games were. And then we're going to mix in some sound. We're going to hear from some guests. And we're going to do this over probably a 2 to 3 week period, which will get us into Costa Mesa for training camp, where we're still going to talk about it in Costa Mesa. We won't have it wrapped up by then. But you never know. The Raiders might give me Max Crosby one day, Tom Telesco. We're going to be out there. So we're going to have to kind of have a hybrid and go in a couple of different directions. And then there's a chance that there's always going to be, you know, breaking news. Something big's going to happen that we're going to have to maybe bail on this for 40 minutes or an hour and go in that direction there. So with everything that's happening today, we are going to begin with the top 10 Raider games at all time, and we're going to dive into honorable mentions. So again, the imaging for the top 10 Raider games of all time.
We now present the Raiders' top 10 games of all time.
And the Raiders have won the Super Bowl championship. They are the world champs.
The history of the Raiders.
He is going to get inside the five, touchdown.
The games that helped make the Raiders one of the most recognized franchises in NFL history.
Just win, baby.
The Raiders' top 10 games of all time begins now. Honorable mention.
All right, so let's stop there for a little bit there. We just wanted to test out the imaging. Great job, Bobby, getting that imaging done, as always, on time. And we're going to start off today, coming up here in about 10 or 15 minutes, with the Bo Jackson-Seattle game. Okay, we're going to start off with Bo Jackson running over Bosworth and the importance of that game and what that game meant to you. So you can start dialing now at any time. Again, not a lot of rules here. And we can talk about Bo Jackson today. So I wanted to start off because this is not a top 10 game, of all time, but arguably, it's one of the most significant games of all time because of what it was able to do to the brand of not only Bo Jackson, but the brand of the Raiders. So with all of that combined, when Boz met Bo Jackson, that was one of the most important games of all time, honorable mention-wise. So I'm going to tease that and get to that near the bottom of the hour. I kind of want some people already in the chat. I want some people to call in. I want some people to get going with that game as we're going to open it up with. Now, this is an iconic moment, right? There were a couple plays in this game that were iconic. I wasn't at the game, but I watched it because the whole country watched it, and it was that important. So when you get to games like that, is it one of the top 10 games? It's not bigger than a Super Bowl. So it wasn't bigger than the Sea of Hands. It wasn't better than some of the – was it bigger and better than the Heidi game? I don't think so, but to some people, yes, because some people grew up in the era of Bo Jackson. So they grew up when Bo Jackson came into the league, and everybody wanted to talk about what that meant and how important that was to them. So that's what every show is going to feel a little bit about, right? There's going to be a player, and there's going to be a game, and then you're going to say, oh, I don't agree with that. That's good. That's a debate. We don't agree with that. Or you're going to say, that should be number 5 instead of number 9. Or you could say, well, that was number 1 or 2, but it was a blowout. How could that be one of the greatest games? Because the game was always, we knew the Raiders were going to win. There are no rules. I can't make everybody happy here. I'm just trying to get this thing rolling and get people excited about a couple of topics here. And Bo Jackson, to me, is one. The second one we're going to attempt to do today, I'm going to try to do 2 for 1 because we got this many honorable mention games. But if Bo dominates the day here and I get some Bo Jackson calls, the second group is going to be the George Blanda games. Now, this is the only category, this games, that I lumped in multiple games into one conversation. George Blanda, starting on October 25th, 1970, through November 22nd, 1970. There was a 5-game stretch there that was one of the most iconic in the history of the sport. So we didn't want to pick out one of them. We wanted to tie in all the Blanda games over this short stretch of time that defined him as a Raider and defined him as a Hall of Famer, as one of the greats of all time. So those are the two that I'm going to work on here. And we want to get you to react today to George Blanda and Bo Jackson. Pretty simple assignment, correct? No need to wait. Again, I don't have a movie to play. I don't have a 20-minute documentary. I got to fill 2 hours today. And I gave you two of the greatest Raiders of all time. Bo Jackson and George Blanda as we open up the show at 702-365-9200. So we're going to get to that coming up in a few minutes. And we're going to try to do deep dives on these games and tell stories about them, and then the significant relevance. Now, remember, these are honorable mentions, right? These aren't in the top 10. I got a bunch of games I got to go over outside the top 10. And when you think of what we're doing here with Bo Jackson plowing over Brian Bosworth for 3 touchdowns, and how about this for a fun fact? That was on his 25th birthday. I did not know that. That's pretty impressive. We'll lead with that coming up here in a couple of minutes. So Bosworth, really entertaining guy now. Great guy. Met him, Bosworth, a couple of times. Man, he's a rock star. Yes, he's a rock. He was a great player. Bo ran over him and owned him in a game, but he was a very good player. He was a much better college player than a pro, like Tim Tebow. Much better college player than a pro, but I'm doing my research on this. But, Bosworth was a better player than you think. They made him out to be a meme. They made fun of him because Bo ran through him. He was a good player. That's why he was drafted where he was drafted, and that's why he played where he played. And some people think he's just some type of trivia question. Who did Bo Jackson run over and plow into the end zone? No, he was a better player than that. But, yeah, you could be at the wrong place at the wrong time, right? Ball hits off Jose Canseco's head and goes over the home run fence, and that's a meme. Jose Canseco is a hell of a player, right? So you don't want to be defined by one play. So that's how we're going to start this thing off here in a few minutes. And we're going to see, because, again, getting shut out will not work here. There are fans who have gone to these games. You remember Bo Jackson, and we want to get into that, 702-365-9200. The only other thing I wanted to mention quickly here, because we're going to be talking sports on top of these games, is the U.S. men's basketball team is here. They're here working out at UNLV. Most of them are staying at Wynn Encore unless they're at a they're all there because they have their meetings and their dinners and their trainers, and everybody's there overall. And we got one of the greatest teams ever assembled. This is not better than the dream team of Bird, Barkley, Carmelo, and Magic. It's not. But it's got LeBron James, Steph Curry. It's got a, there's a hell of a team Steve Kerr is coaching here. Seems like a lot of what we were talking about is still about Bronny James. LeBron went on a deep dive about his son Bronny getting drafted, which is something we'll get into. And this team, Kevin Durant is already injured. Kawhi Leonard has been injured all year, and he wants to play on this team. Klay Thompson and his exit from the Warriors. And then there's some good players out there on this team that aren't going to get a lot of time on the basketball court because this is a star-heavy team, really star-heavy, and they're all here. So as we have NBA Summer League, where Bronny's coming to, and the NBA Summer Leaguers are out here, which is fun, you have USA Basketball here. I was at the USA Basketball game where Paul George broke his leg, and they ended the game on the spot, and his career was in jeopardy. He's still making max contract deals. Still making max contract deals. And I thought his career was over right in front of me. For 4 or 5 years of this, you know, back in the day, we always go to Summer League. We never miss Summer League. But I've been at a couple of these USA, Team USA practices, credentialed for that. It's pretty cool. You want to be starstruck? This is pretty starstruck. When you walk around and you see all these guys here in one place at one time, and they're in Vegas, as Vegas is breaking heat records. What's going on here is absolutely wild. We just had Caitlin Clark here, which is pretty big. We just had UFC. There's a lot of things happening in Vegas, but no doubt the biggest, most popular basketball players around the world are here as we get ready to go. All right, so that's the monologue brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue, 5 to 7, midnight to 2, the best happy hour in town. How great would it be just to get to a PT's? Order your favorite adult beverage. Cool off. Cool off. Listen to the show, the podcast. Put the earbuds in there. Have some lunch. Go to happy hour. Have dinner from 5 to 7, man. This is when you want to be inside. PT's, proud partner of ours as we look at the top 10 games of all time. So today the categories are going to be Bo Jackson and George Blanda. I think we come in right out of the gate with two of the most iconic Raiders of all time. And two of the games or stretches of the games that they played in. So we can talk about the games individually or what these players meant to you. And again, these are Mount Rushmore. Well, not Mount Rushmore. Bo Jackson's not a Mount Rushmore Raider, but he's an iconic Raider. And I don't know where you put George Blanda. I don't know where you put George Blanda. I don't. Because he's unique. To play quarterback, to kick, to do what he did, to win the games on his foot and his arm is pretty iconic. And he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So I think he's pretty high up on the list. Chris in West Oakland likes to participate. Start us off, Chris, as we begin our summer school project. How are you?
Hey, JT. I'm looking forward to this summer. It's going to be a lot of fun arguing, a lot of different. I think we're going to see, too, different criteria. Like you said, when you first came up with this about the greatest games, my mind goes to greatest games of all time, close games, iconic name games, goes to the post, sea of hands. Not necessarily a four-touchdown blowout in the Super Bowl, but we're going to have fun with that during the summer. But keeping with the task at hand today, where do you put George Blanda as a Raider? How about one of the most clutch performers of all time? One of the greatest Raiders? No, not one of the greatest quarterbacks. He was a backup quarterback. Just came in and always seemed to get the job done. Was a great kicker. Always seemed to make a great kick. So when you think George Blanda to me, you almost the ultimate competitor, as people will tell you, close to George Blanda. This guy was just monumentally clutch. Big moment, big kick, big throw. You could turn to George Blanda, and more often than not, he came in and got the job done. One of the saddest things to me, he retired 1 year, same as Jim Otto, before they won their first Super Bowl. Let's move over to Bo Jackson. Not about Rushmore Raider, but I've said this to this day, JT. I've never seen a better running back on a football field. He didn't put up the numbers. He didn't have the longevity. But there's never been a more better combination of power and speed in the NFL than Bo Jackson. 230 pounds, 4-1-40. And what I remember about that game the most isn't so much running over Bosworth from the three and carrying him into the end zone. It was taking an all-pro safety like Kenny Easley, number 45, the 90-yard touchdown run. He made this guy look like he was a coach trying to keep up with him in a pregame warm-up. That's when I first realized how fast Bo Jackson was up the sidelines when he just left everybody in the dust. But before I get off here, JT, I would be remiss. I really want to give a quick comment about Clay Thompson. Listen, I'm not going to go into the specifics, what a buffoon I think Mike Dunleavy is, how I think the Warriors organization has completely wasted the back end of Steph Curry's career. But to Clay Thompson, this kid came in 13 years ago, the year after Steph, joined with arguably and almost inarguably the greatest backcourt of all time, certainly the greatest shooting backcourt of all time. You were here during the bad days in the 90s, JT. Clay helped turn the culture around. It wasn't all Steph. Clay had a lot to do with it. I feel so bad that this kid got hurt in the absolute prime of his career, the peak of his prime, when he lost 2.5 seasons, or he'd already be over 3,000 three-pointers himself right now. I think people forget how great this guy was at the top of his game, and I think every single Warrior fan owes this guy a dread of gratitude, nothing but the best of luck in Dallas. I'm always rooting for the Warriors, but I'll be rooting for Clay. I want to see that guy do it again. Put another ring on your finger. This guy helped give me 12 of the greatest sports years any fan could ever ask for out of what the Warriors gave us. It's a dozen years of the best basketball the NBA's ever seen. So again, thank you, Clay. Your number will go in the Raptors at Chase. One day there will be a statue along with Steph and Draymond. Have a great rest of your career. But again, most importantly, thank you. And you know my history as a Warrior, JT. I'm going to say it now. This guy's my all-time favorite. Rick Barry, Chris Mullin, Steph Curry, Clay Thompson. Steve Kerr once said it. Clay's not low maintenance. Clay's low maintenance. And I hope he has a few good last years of his career and finishes second to Steph Curry in every single three-point category. So thanks again, Clay. Thanks for letting me talk, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, nice phone call by Chris in West Oakland. He checked the boxes on Bo Jackson and George Blanda. And that's what we're looking for as we take a look back. We're in the honorable mention category of the Raiders games. All-time greatest games. It's going to take a couple of days to get through the honorable mentions, and we're looking for your participation. Again, participation is important with this one because, again, if you've been to those games, you remember those games. In regards to Clay at times, was the best shooter in the league. He was better than Steph on many nights. Many nights that Steph was better and more. He's just a better player. But Clay was pretty close. And there were nights where Steph was not going to be magic, and Clay was. That's hard to do. Played in a lot of big games. And he's right. He's going to get his jersey retired. It's going to be in the rafters. He's going to get a statue. He is. And he's going to go down as one of the greatest Warriors of all time with Rick Barry for what he was able to do. I always think that shooters at the end of their career, shooters, should just play less and keep shooting. You don't have to play 40 minutes. You don't have to play 35 minutes. Sit on the bench, come off the bench, try to get hot, get your team back in the game. The league is completely out of control now. All anybody's doing is shooting threes. How many of these guys are good at shooting threes? Not many. Clay was one of them. Clay was one of the guys that if the three ball went up, you said, it's probably going to go in. He's that good of a player. And he was part of the Warriors, and the Warriors, as Chris said, were great during that run of 12 years. They weren't good. They were great. And I got a chance to see a number of those games, and I'll never forget it. No doubt about that. 702-365-9200. Today's about the miracle of George Blanda and Bo Jackson. As we look back at the Raiders' greatest games of all time, these do not make the top 10, but are close. I'm not ranking the honorable mentions. I'm just putting them up there for you to talk about as we open up the show. Let's hear from you on Bo Jackson and George Blanda today. Little Raider History 101.
I mean, when talking to him, just something special for sure. You know, he loves how physical I play, you know, how I finish, my mentality. And I really feel like it fits, you know, the Raiders franchise and what the Raiders have done in the past and in their history.
Yeah, Jackson Powers. Oh, my guy. Johnson, what a player he's going to be, I would think. Raiders got two starters right out of the gate in Brock Bowers and then the big man out of Oregon. Those players have got to play better, got to play great as rookies. And we'll be out there at a camp as the rookies report before the veterans coming up here. Welcome back, everybody. We're brought to you by the DiCastroVerde Law Group, proud partner of our summer series, The Raiders' 10 Greatest Games of All Time. If you get into an accident, 702-222-9999. If you're in an accident and injured, it's the DiCastroVerde Law Group. Alex and Orlando DiCastroVerde, built off the legacy of their dad and his dad, who built the law firm and did an unbelievable job. And now the law firm is fantastic, grows. You see, the brothers have your back. Brotherswin.com, brotherswin.com. So I'm going to spend a few moments here. We'll get a call or two up here that right now, but then I want to spend time on Bo Jackson. He's going to be the first game that we talk about, the Bo Jackson game against Brian Bosworth on his 25th birthday and where that game stands all time in Raider history. First, Mike in Staten, Italy. Mikey in Manhattan, good to talk to you. Mikey, how are you?
Hey, JT, doing well. First thing about what I know most about Bo Jackson, just graduating high school, 1987. Bo Jackson's not a Raider. If you didn't have a progressive owner like Al Davis, he was the only one that was willing to pay Bo Jackson his full salary and miss early season games because of his baseball obligations. So without Al Davis, there is no Bo Jackson. So you're another reason to say the Davis family, how progressive and smart they are. And that is really what I take from Bo Jackson. Obviously, if he didn't get hurt, how great would he have been? A couple of things, JT. You were just talking basketball. The USA Olympic team, could you imagine if Christian Laettner or somebody on that dream team said that it's all me and everybody else fits in? Edwin says that he is USA basketball right now, and that Steph Curry, Durant, all have to play around him. They didn't take Isaiah Thomas. What do you think Jordan and Pippen would have did to this kid, Edwards? I love the moxie, but incredible. Incredible there. Hey, GT, I just want to congratulate you. 3,600 subscribers. I remember when we were fighting for 20. You'll be at 200,000 subscribers once the black hole starts this weekend. Hey, JT, I'm in New York. How bad is 120 degrees? Have a good day, my friend.
Take care, Mikey. Well, I'm from New York. In New York, when it's 95 and full humidity, feels like 115, but we are just baking. We are just baking out here right now. It is ungodly hot. Even if you're in, you got to have shade. You got to be in the water. You got to be in the water with some type of shade and a hat on, and you just got to hope for the best. Very important. You got to hope for the best. I took my dog out today at 7:05 a.m., and the park across the street from my house was packed. And that's a good sign. That means people understand they got to get their dogs out before work, and they got to get their dogs out early and their pets out early so they can at least have a life and enjoy their life, because they got to be in the house the rest of the day. You know, Bo Jackson, we're going to start with him. I think the key to this game for Bo, as we look back at the honorable mentions of the greatest games of all time, was the fact that Bo Jackson was iconic before he had this game. A lot of guys had to have games with the Raiders before they became iconic. Art Shell, George Atkinson. You know, you got to go to players. Some had nice college careers. Jim Otto, Fred Biletnikoff, Ted Hendricks. But really what put you on the map back in the day when Bo was around was television and ads. And Bo knows sports, Bo knows. And Bo playing football and baseball at the same time, I mean, he just didn't see anything. Imagine what it would have been like if Bo Jackson was playing today with social media and all the shows that they have and the debate shows. A lot of the debate shows are garbage, especially today. I saw Skip Bayless today doing a whole segment on Steph Curry's not able to spin the basketball on his finger. And they debated that with Rachel Nichols. Like, why can he make all these shots? I'm like, oh, my God. Can you imagine if Bo Jackson was playing now two sports? We wouldn't have to worry about killing segments in July. Bo was that amazing. But what happened in that game was he went up against Brian Bosworth. And Bosworth came in arguably as good as Bo Jackson in college. He wasn't going to win the Heisman Trophy. Bo was a legend that way as a running back. But Bosworth at Oklahoma with the Mohawk, the dyed Mohawk, was a great player. Sideline to sideline, dominant player who took control of games and was one of the greatest linebackers ever to play. If you put up the Mount Rushmore of linebackers in college football history, tell me how Brian Bosworth isn't on that list. He was a 10. He was a superstar. He was elite. And the buildup to that game meant a lot also from talking to people who were involved in the game and people behind the scenes, because Bo wasn't a talker. Bo wasn't lighting people up coming into that game, and Bosworth was looking forward to the game. In the local media in Seattle, which is not the national media, going into Monday Night Football, this was about as big as it could be. Seattle playing in the AFC West with the Raiders, the history that they had already, and the fact that Seattle was always the stepchild of the Raiders. The Raiders were typically always better than Seattle, and Seattle thought they had the player which would revolutionize the franchise to be equal, if not better, than the Raiders. And Bo Jackson put an end to all of that. There's a lot of clips with that game, but Bo did several ridiculous things in that game. And he did it in baseball not too far off from that. But plowing over Brian Bosworth and also rushing for a 91-yard touchdown that finished him running into the tunnel on Monday Night Football, that was November 30th, 1987, very memorable game, one of the most memorable Monday night games of all time. Here's Bo versus Bosworth, the TD, in Seattle on ESPN.
And if you're in Seattle, you can't wait till he leaves. Third and one from the two. Here's Bo. And here goes Bo for the touchdown. He and Bosworth, one-on-one, and Jackson just shoves him into the end zone.
I suggest a handicap of 18. How about 20 pounds?
That's the matchup you like to see. If you're Seattle, Bo Jackson with the ball, Brian Bosworth. Here's Bo Jackson. He's going to go here. Here's Brian Bosworth. They're going to meet on the two-yard line and end up in the end zone. Watch the Bos. He plays it perfectly, flows to the football. Meets Bo Jackson at the 220 beats 240 easily.
Easily. An unbelievable call there, too. Al Michaels, Frank Gifford, and Dan Dierdorf in amazement at that time. What I love about that play-by-play call is they let it resonate. They let the play happen, and then they waited for the replay, and they had completely different opinions once they saw the replay. When everybody saw that replay, what I remember at the time watching that Monday Night Football game, and I remember it, 1987, November 30th, was my senior year in college. And Monday Night Football was a pretty big deal, your senior year in college and what you were doing at that time. And I remember the excitement and how big that game was, and everybody tuned in. And we're in New York, in upstate New York, and I remember seeing the replay and how Bosworth got blown up and went backwards there. Now, should that play have defined Brian Bosworth? I don't think so. He made a lot of good plays, but he was injured. He was injured, shoulder injuries. You know, the guy put up a lot of tackles in college. One thing about Brian Bosworth, he played a lot in college and was very violent, and I think his body couldn't hold up in the pros. And that was a good example there with Bo Jackson on that play. And you know, when you look back at it, what happened was that became highlights that were on local television, and ESPN ran with it, as ESPN started in 79. And Monday Night Football was already an iconic brand, and the Raiders always delivered on Monday Night Football. So this had everything. It was the perfect storm. But now we go to the Bo Jackson 91-yard touchdown run, one of the greatest runs in Raider history.
Third down and six at the nine. And Bo Jackson to the 20 and out in front, and only one man to beat, and Easley can't run him down. He had the angle, but there goes Bo, and nobody catches Bo. Touchdown.
He may not stop till Tacoma. He's gone.
Portland.
He just went by Spokane.
There go the Raiders into flying. What a scene.
Come on back, guys.
Oh, he was flying.
Third and six. You'll see Dean Maraldi, the center, pull out of there. Steve Wright, the right tackle. But, I mean, it's over right there. Kenny Easley has the angle. And it's like little kids chasing a grown man.
It's the longest run in Raider history.
God, that's such a good play-by-play call. Save that, Bobby. That is just so good that the way those iconic broadcasters saw that in real time and were able to call that, and then Tacoma, right? So they throw in Tacoma at the end, and he runs through the tunnel, and he disappears, and the Raiders go up the tunnel to bring him back again. Vintage Bo Jackson. And again, that wasn't a play where Brian Bosworth was embarrassed like at the goal line, but a play that stays in Raider history. It was the Auburn legend 25th birthday on that night as he finished with 221 rushing yards, three touchdowns for the Los Angeles Raiders as they beat the Seattle Seahawks 37-14. So we put this as an honorable mention all time in Raider history of the greatest games because it was a blowout. It wasn't a playoff game, but we decided to include it on our list. We'd like your reaction to this game specifically, 702-365-9200. What changed you as a Raider fan that night, if you were alive and watching it? And what do you think of it today when you hear back Al Michaels making that call on Monday Night Football? I think it's an important question. Is it one of the greatest games of all time? This is why we debated this so much and we wanted to do this summer series, is because this had iconic plays. Not an iconic game, but we decided to put this into the iconic games because of the magnitude of Monday Night Football and Bo Jackson being legendary. You better believe this is one of the most important games in Raider history because it brought more Raider fans into the Raider Nation. There were fans that watched that night for the first time and said, I'm going to be a Raider fan because of Bo Jackson. Love that play-by-play call. 702-365-9200 as we continue on. JT, as we're here on a Monday, a hot Monday, brought to you by Grimaldi's, the best pizza I ever had. Pickup's better. Well, you want to go inside and cool off? Go to Grimaldi's. I go to Boca Park, cool off inside, some AC, great wine list, great cerveza, great pizza. Oh, fantastic. The salads are great. Head on out to Grimaldi's.
Well, I think it put a lot of fear in the defensive back because of the fact that you closed the cushion so much. And when they said the bomb was back in Oakland, they was talking about one player, and they was talking about Clifford Branch.
Cliff Branch, may he rest in peace. JT, as we begin our summer series, top 10 Raider games of all time, we are in the honorable mention category, and we're starting off with Bo Jackson and what Bo Jackson did, the touchdowns on his 23rd birthday, Monday Night Football. He also had a receiving touchdown in that game, 91-yard touchdown. We just played that. Might be one of the greatest individual achievement games in Raider history. And looking back on Bo's career, and I went through some of the game breakdowns. We know about his hip injury that ended up, you know, costing him his career against Cincinnati. The thing about Bo, a lot of people talk about that game. They talk about, I was at a Bo Jackson baseball game, the All-Star game, where he hit a home run, and that was pretty incredible in Anaheim. But Bo's also known for some great moments climbing the wall in Kansas City as an outfielder. Some of his throws were amazing. And Bo probably would have been, people ask this of him all the time. He doesn't like to answer it. What would he, a better football player or baseball player? That's hard because the injuries to his hip hurt him as a baseball player. But I think his trajectory coming out of Auburn would have been a better football player long-term than baseball. And that really says a lot. His career highlights and what he was able to do in that Seattle game helped his branding also. Jeff Perlman wrote about him, called him the greatest. That was a great book, too. When you look at some of the real games of Bo's career, the Raider game on Monday Night Football is definitely the top football game that he played in, and there were 4 to 5 baseball games that people look back at now and call them just as iconic as that. What will Bo Jackson be remembered for as a Raider? I think a comet, a shooting star, a player that came in highly recognized, also played with Marcus Allen. Marcus Allen ended up leaving and going to Kansas City. But what I find most impressive about the life and career of Bo Jackson is the fact that so many young people know him because of video games and know him as a multiple sport athlete. He won the Heisman Trophy in 1985, playing in the NFL for the Raiders and Kansas City, Chicago, and the Angels. He was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1996. Bo knows the advertising campaign was 1989 and 1990. We're talking about a football game that was played in 1987 that led a lot to the campaign Bo knows. That was a Nike campaign starring Bo Jackson alongside musician Bo Diddley, promoting a cross-training athletic shoe named for Jackson. In 1991, the hip injury ended his career, and his baseball career ended not soon after, in 1994. He's become a very successful businessman. His completion of his Bachelor of Science degree in Family and Child Development at Auburn. I did not know that. He went on to finish his education. He still holds the NFL record for most runs for 90-plus yards from scrimmage with two. And he's been in a lot of TV shows, and he does a lot of personal appearances. So when you look back at the life of Bo Jackson as we kick off the Raiders' greatest games of all time, this game had a really big impact on his brand. It did. It had a massive impact on his brand before he went to baseball and his baseball career came to an end. Most of his achievements come in baseball, but that one game signified that that was a great pick by the Raiders. And the only thing that hurt him more was the injuries. And wow, wished his career didn't end, because when you looked at what that game was all about, a third touchdown reception, he rushed for 221 yards that night and two touchdowns, and the 221 yards were a single game record for the Raiders at the time. Wow. Bo Jackson kicks off our summer series of the greatest Raider games of all time against Seattle. Think you're going to enjoy this coming back. George Blanda, the miracle of George Blanda. We'll take more phone calls on Bo at 702-365-9200. Now let's get some old-timers to step up, or some Raider historians, on the impact that George Blanda had on the Silver and Black. You won't believe the amount of games in succession that he was able to put away, and they were all big for the Silver and Black.